Parnassus on Wheels by Christopher Morley. Foreword. A letter to David Grayson, Esquire, of Hempfield, USA. My dear sir, although my name appears on the title page, the real author of this book is Miss Helen McGill, now Mrs. Roger Mifflin, who told me the story with her own inimitable vivacity. And on her behalf I want to send you these few words of acknowledgment. Mrs. Mifflin, I need hardly say, is unskilled in the arts of authorship. This is her first book, and I doubt whether she will ever write another. She hardly realized, I think, how much her story owes to your own delightful writings. There used to be a well-thumbed copy of Adventures in Contentment on her table at the Sabine Farm, and I have seen her pick it up after a long day in the kitchen, read it with chuckles, and say that the story of you and Harriet reminded her of herself and Andrew. She used to mutter something about Adventures in Discontentment, and ask why Harriet's side of the matter was never told. And so, when her own adventure came to pass, and she was urged to put it on paper, I think she unconsciously adopted something of the manner and matter that you have made properly yours. Surely, sir, you will not disown so innocent a tribute. At any rate, Miss Harriet Grayson, whose excellent qualities we have all so long admired, will find in Mrs. Mifflin a kindred spirit. Mrs. Mifflin would have said this for herself, with her characteristic definitiveness of speech, had she not been out of touch with her publishers and foolscap paper. She and the professor are on their Parnassus, somewhere on the high roads, happily engrossed in the most godly diversion known to man, selling books. And I venture to think that there are no volumes they take more pleasure in recommending than the wholesome and invigorating books which bear your name. Believe me, dear Mr. Grayson, with warm regards, faithfully yours, Christopher Morley. End of Foreword. Chapter 1. I wonder if there isn't a lot of bunkum in higher education. I never found that people who were learned in logarithms and other kinds of poetry were any quicker in washing dishes or darning socks. I've done a good deal of reading when I could, and I don't want to admit impediments to the love of books, but I've also seen lots of good, practical folk spoiled by too much fine print. Reading sonnets always gave me the hiccups, too. I never expected to be an author, but I do think there are some amusing things about the story of Andrew and myself, and how books broke up our placid life. When John Gutenberg, whose real name, so the professor says, was John Gooseflesh, borrowed that money to set up his printing press, he launched a lot of troubles on the world. Andrew and I were wonderfully happy on the farm until he became an author. If I could have foreseen all the bother his writings were to cause us, I would certainly have burnt the first manuscript in the kitchen stove. Andrew McGill, the author of those books everyone reads, is my brother. In other words, I am his sister, 10 years younger. Years ago, Andrew was a businessman, but his health failed, and, like so many people in the storybooks, he fled to the country, or, as he called it, to the bosom of nature. He and I were the only ones left in an unsuccessful family. I was slowly perishing as a conscientious governess in the brownstone region of New York. He rescued me from that, and we bought a farm with our combined savings. We became real farmers, up with the sun and to bed with the same. Andrew wore overalls and a soft shirt and grew brown and tough. My hands got red and blue with soapsuds and frost. I never saw a red fern advertisement from one year's end to another, and my kitchen was a battlefield where I set my teeth and learned to love hard work. Our literature was government agriculture reports, patent medicine almanacs, seedsmen's books, and Sears Roebuck catalogs. We subscribed to Farm and Fireside and read the serials aloud.